This is Politics on Parade here on The Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education and Erotic University. This past week, a number of people's careers have come to a rather quick end, or at least are in danger, because of the horrible things they said or the horrible things they did. For a 19-year-old in Wisconsin, his political career ended before it ever really started. He was Jacob Dorsey, and he was running for the state assembly. He's since dropped out, and I think he probably has pretty much dropped out of politics after it was discovered that he tweeted things such as this: "Fags need to leave my favorite state alone." On social media, he also put up things such as, "Fuck Abraham Lincoln," and "Niggers trash cars, I'm not selling my town car to one." Wasn't that long ago that saying things like this wouldn't have hurt your political career in Wisconsin. Well, maybe the Lincoln thing. But it's a good thing that these things are changing. And another politician's career has ended, Russell Pierce in Arizona. As a former Arizona State Senator, he is, or was, Arizona Republican Party's first vice chair, and he has resigned after controversial comments from his weekly radio show came out. He said, "You put me in charge of Medicaid, the first thing I do is get female recipients Norplant, birth control implants, or tubal ligations. Then we'll test recipients for drugs and alcohol. If you don't want to reproduce or use drugs or alcohol, then get a job." And he said, "People out there who need help should get it from family, church, and community, not the government." Now, first he tried to quell the storm by admitting it was a mistake, just not his mistake. He said those comments were written by someone else, and he was just quoting them, and that the mistake had been taken by the media and left and used to hurt our Republican candidates. Pierce was given a high post in the Republican Party despite having already lost a recall election. Not a popular guy. And I'm not completely sure whether the Republicans pressured him to resign because he said something horrible and insensitive about women, which seems kind of strange, or because he was actually saying something that was pro-birth control. For Alabama-based U.S. District Court Judge Mark Fuller, it wasn't what he said, but what he did that's creating the problem for him. He beat his wife. Three U.S. senators have come out and said, maybe we shouldn't have federal judges who beat their wives. Democrat Claire McCaskill was joined by Senators Richard Shelby and Jeff Sessions in calling for the judge to resign. Alabama U.S. Representative Terry Sewell has also called for him to resign, but right now it looks like he doesn't plan on going anywhere. The judge didn't just beat his wife, he beat her bloody, and there's a 911 call that's recorded where you can actually hear her being beaten and pleading for help. The courts, not surprisingly, gave him a slap on the wrist. Not only that, the judge has a history of drug and alcohol problems, and he beat his previous wife. Congress should not be calling on him to resign. They should be impeaching him. But Congress is really too dysfunctional to accomplish even this most basic function. He has a lifetime appointment to the bench and a $200,000 a year salary. But to some Republicans, he's a bit of a hero. He was a close ally of Karl Rove, and he refused to recuse himself from the political prosecution of popular governor in Alabama, Don Sigelman, even though he had a long-held personal grudge against the Democratic governor. The judge threw Sigelman into prison for something that has never, ever been charged as a crime before. And 113 former U.S. state attorney generals said that he shouldn't have been charged. Most legal experts believe that in that case, the corruption wasn't so much with the former governor, but with the judge, who found a way to use the courts to take a grudge out on a personal enemy and throw him in jail for several years, where Sigelman still sits in prison trying to get a retrial for what many people consider to have been a kangaroo court. This corrupt, violent, brutal judge needs to go. Whether that's actually going to happen or not is hard to say. But there's someone else that Democrats are saying needs to go. He probably won't ever go away. Attention whore Rush Limbaugh made headlines again for the horrible things he said about Ohio State University's new sexual assault policies. Those policies require students to actively and explicitly agree to sexual activity. And we've done the same thing here in the state of California. You yes means yes. You have to say yes. One of the good things about that, it means somebody who's completely drunk out of their mind can't consent to sex. So it's a good thing. Here's what Limbaugh had to say. He said that seduction used to be an art, and college campuses are now making it into something that is considered to be brutish and predatory. Considered to be? It can be. He suggested it's unrealistic that students ask for permission every step of the way during a sexual encounter. Are these not lawsuits waiting to happen? Well, yeah, they are. He said affirmative consent is an unreasonable standard because guys know that no means yes if you know how to spot it. I mean, that last one was the one that really set people off. There are guys who think that it is okay to have sex with a woman if she's unconscious. It's rape. But we haven't really emphasized that enough, and the law has been pretty murky. I think we need laws that say if you have sex with an unconscious woman, you go to jail. And when you're dealing with an intoxicated woman, you better be damn careful. Lying in politics has reached epidemic proportions, and there are often no consequences for the liars. Now, arguably, Mitt Romney, who ran what was probably one of the most dishonest campaigns I've seen in my life, where they chronicled the hundreds of lies that he said constantly. Maybe he did in part lose because it became known that he was a liar, but I'm not quite sure that's the case. He's also pretty incompetent as a candidate. Some states have wanted to do something about the lying, so they've put up laws that bar people from knowingly or recklessly making false statements about candidates. Not being able to tell lies can be kind of a disadvantage for some politicians. So they went to court. Well, not the politicians. They had an organization go to court for them. That organization was the Susan B. Anthony List, which is an extremist anti-choice organization. Ohio had enacted a law that made it illegal to make these kind of false statements. In this particular case, it was the Susan B. Anthony List's wanting to put up billboards that accused then U.S. Representative Steve Dryhouse of being pro-abortion. The basic lie was this, that because he supported President Barack Obama's health care overhaul, he was pro-abortion. Even though the two are not equated at all, and even though he has opposed abortion, the billboard was, in essence, a flat-out lie. Now, it didn't go to court immediately because the billboard owner wouldn't allow these billboards to go up. But they took it all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, no, yes, you got to go hear it, even though the ads never actually went up. And the judge made his decision. He ruled in favor of the Susan B. Anthony List's right to lie. The Susan B. Anthony List said it was a great victory, so they could now inform voters without fear of prosecution. Actually, what they're thrilled about is that they now have the right to misinform voters. What we need to do now is inform voters that the Susan B. Anthony List folks are just fucking liars. In the long battle to win the hearts and minds of women, the Republican Party keeps setting themselves back. This past week, they unanimously blocked the Equal Pay Bill. The bill, actually known as the Paycheck Fairness Act, did two important things. It banned salary secrecy, and it would tighten rules to try to narrow the gender wage gap. It's been pretty clearly shown that getting rid of salary secrecy goes a long way in helping for salary equity between men and women. The act would also make it much more difficult to come up with excuses for paying women less. But is this strategy really going to work? Republicans say, oh no, we're pro-contraception, but they do everything they can to make it less available for women. And they say that they are pro-equal pay. But they offered no alternatives. They just blocked the bill. The only explanation some of them could come up with is, although they support equal pay, some of them said they don't believe there's a problem. There is no unequal pay. Legislation is not needed because everything's just fine and dandy. I just don't see that playing well with women who know different. And I think they're well aware that this is a problem. That's why Main Street Advocacy is launching a women-to-women tour, and they'll have town hall meetings in different states. These women-to-women town halls won't deal with such touchy subjects as abortion or pay equity or any of those kinds of things. In an interview, Sarah Chamberlain, who is the Women-to-Women Initiative's leader, said, "We're not here to touch the third rail." And they targeted women attendees so that they'd know that going in. They're not going to talk about social issues. So what are they going to talk about? I'm quoting Chamberlain here. The first one is 21st century cures, which is trying to get the government out of the way of the scientists as they begin to find cures for cancer, specifically suntan lotion. Trying to improve the quality of suntan lotion so melanoma goes down in this country. So, just issues like that. You mean issues that don't actually exist because there's no one blocking the research to try to make better suntan lotion? I mean, seriously. No one is talking about this issue. Maybe you want to throw in such other hot topics as whether the bathroom tissue should unspool from the inside or the outside, and the proper way to fold the dinner table napkins. After the Hobby Lobby case at the Supreme Court, the number of challenges to birth control rights has increased. They have been emboldened, and things are just getting strange. Missouri State Representative Paul Joseph Weiland, along with his wife, they're suing the government. They do not want the government to provide health insurance that covers birth control because their two college-age daughters might access this. Their daughters are adults. The representative said that giving birth control is the equivalent of giving your children free access to a stocked, unlocked liquor cabinet. They're not children anymore, representative. And trust me, if they're away at college, they're probably doing their fair share of drinking. With your logic, though, you wouldn't emphasize the importance of not driving after drinking because, you know, they deserve to be punished for drinking. Just like if they have sex, they deserve to be punished by becoming pregnant. You are one sick person. Their claim is that they cannot provide, fund, or in any way be a participant in the provision of health care coverage for contraception, sterilization, abortions, or abortifacient drugs and devices such as Plan B, Ella, and copper IUDs, or related education and counseling without violating their sincerely held religious beliefs. As a state representative, he is insured through the health plan that Missouri offers its state employees. If they win their case, they would wind up dramatically expanding the impact of the Hobby Lobby case, and the fact that there was the Hobby Lobby case increases the likelihood that absolutely insane lawsuits like this could succeed. And they don't want to just limit this access for their daughters. They want to limit access to birth control for everyone if they have to pay into this system. It's an absolutely crazy argument. But so was the argument that the Hobby Lobby people made. It was crazy. But the Catholics on the Supreme Court, who were all men, went for it. The only way to make sure that not a penny of your money has anything to do with any of the things that he doesn't want to support is to have that company not do any of those things. How far are we going to take this argument? That if we pay our employees who want to be able to keep them from using that money directly to buy birth control if you object to it? Why don't you give money to somebody else, whether it's for an employee's salary or whether it goes into an insurance company? You no longer have any responsibility or control over what happens to that money. It's insane to think that you do. And that this kind of extremist, insane thinking is happening over birth control here in the 21st century is mind-boggling.